Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. When he was in town to play with the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia, pianist and composer Conrad Tau stopped by the studio and talked about his new CD. So let's talk about Pictures, your new CD. Can you talk about how this came to be? It seems as if you're exploring ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, my new album, Pictures, is an album about memory, ultimately. I would say that that's the big salient theme. And all of these pieces use images as a springboard in a way to explore memory in some way. And some of these pieces are arguably more image pieces than memory pieces, but I think they orbit that kind of interesting little center. And also they explore memory in complex ways, not just in a straightforward in memoriam sense, but kind of in a more craggly, contradictory way, which feels more accurate to the experience of loss. That feels more resonant to me, just as someone, you know, just reflecting on my own experiences with loss and grief. So my piece on this program, this CD, is in memory of Emilio del Rosario, my first piano teacher, my first really, like, you know, quote-unquote serious piano teacher, and, you know, who I studied with for 4 years, and when you're 9 years old, that's half your life, and who is essential to my early musical development. And this is a piece kind of not just in memory of him not even necessarily about him. It's about sort of, he died in 2010 and he was rather ill for a couple of years before that. And when I visited him, he didn't really know who I was, but when I played for him, he remembered the music I played. I remember I played the Andante Spianato and Grand Polonaise for him, and everyone in the room with us started applauding after the first section, and he stopped them and he said, "No, there's more, wait." And he had no idea who I was. And also, you know, my own career has had amazing things happen since 2010. And I selfishly kind of wonder sometimes, you know, what would it be like to share that with him? What would he say? How would he respond? And so this piece is not even about him so much as it's about sort of this imagined memory of what would it be like to spend time with someone who's not there anymore. And I think something I wanted to explore in the piece was just this weird emotional feeling. It's this strange cocktail of things. There's anger there, there's frustration, there's grief, it's a strange mix of things. It's muddy and difficult. And so I wanted to write a piece that felt honest to that instead of only, you know, maybe just a tribute. Because a tribute would actually be much nicer. I think it would be much happier. But in a way, that's what I wanted to explore with this CD. How do we engage with memory? How do we honor people who we've lost? In, you know, what are the different ways we can do that?
And that explains the collection of other pieces as well.
Yeah, every single piece on this record, antiquated terminology, every single piece here does that on some level. Sometimes half a piece, the Carter, for example, the two thoughts about the piano, it's the first one that really concerns memory. But the two pieces together are kind of inverse image pieces in a way. The first piece, Intermittences, is actually a reference to Proust, to a passage in Sodom and Gomorrah, which is basically just an extended rumination on loss and grief. And so Intermittences musically explores that by, you know, judiciously using silence in a variety of ways to evoke, you know, different things that one might associate with loss and grief. You know, it's how can you mold silence in a way that makes it feel palpable, which feels poetic to me, just like, you know, the lack of something as almost corporeal. How does that happen? And then Catenaries is just the inverse of that. It is a 3-minute string of continuous 16th notes. But Intermittences is that sort of has that weird, complicated, uncomfortable exploration of memory and loss and all these things.
And in your piece, if you were explaining this to someone, is there something particular to listen for?
There's this undercurrent, this kind of rhythm throughout. I mean, the rhythms that underpin the piece are kind of shifting at all times. And the mark that I have in the score is ambling. And I think I was trying to capture this slightly uneasy shuffling, you know, because the piece is called A Walk for Emilio. It's kind of just, if you imagined, like, what would what would it be like to walk with someone who you really wish that you could have a conversation with? You know, what would that experience be like? So it's this kind of uneasy shuffling throughout, and it's comfortable. It's almost comfortable, but it's unsteady. And I'd like to think that it kind of has an internal, just emotional, almost primal logic to it, that it evokes that. I mean, that's the hope, is that it's clear no matter what. But, you know, it's using polyrhythms and all these things to evoke that. And then everything that happens on top of that is an extension of that. It's a, you know, a lyrical melody that is, you know, a little melancholy. And then these extra layers on top that, again, don't really align. I'm really fascinated by that in general. Like, what happens when you put these things together that don't align in, like, a traditional musical sense, in the sense of, like, they don't fit together on the grid, but they seem to work together, and they feel like they, you couldn't separate them.
And is there any part of the pictures at an exhibition that you would point to that touched you in a certain way?
Pictures was the starting point for this whole album. Pictures define the themes of this album, images and memory, because that is embedded in the very core of this piece. It's, you know, it's not, in a weird way, it's not really a piece to me about pictures. It's not really about images. It kind of is the definition of using images as a springboard to explore this other stuff, because it's a moody piece to me. It's a heterogeneous piece, and that's the other thing I love about it. And it is about capturing the essence of these images. But as a whole, it's about capturing the essences of these images in order to capture some larger essence of a person, to celebrate a person who has died. And Victor Hartmann died very suddenly and unexpectedly, and this piece was written really suddenly and quickly, in kind of this, I can imagine that, you know, this rush of sort of this really deep desire to honor someone. And so that's what I really love about, I think that, you know, all of this stuff I'm talking about, all of this complexity of memory and how do you really honor someone in an emotionally honest way, I feel like pictures at an exhibition is a wonderful example of that. You know, you honor them by celebrating their work, and also in the process you create your own rumination on this person and on, invariably, on their loss. And it's a heavy piece. It's the last movement, The Great Gate of Kiev, is really this emotionally heavy thing, and I actually bring, you know, my own personal stuff into it, and I think of the people I want to pay tribute to, in a way, in that final weirdly cataclysmic but also celebratory conclusion. And I like that. I think that's one of the things I love about music, is that, and specifically what I do, which is, like, often concert music, instrumental music, one of the nice things about it is that there's a lot of room for that tension and that complexity. And so I think absolutely that pictures is indicative of that general approach.
I was going to say that when you look at the pieces that you've composed, if you look at the albums that you're doing, they seem to be explorations of ideas and making connections between repertoire that we may think we know and new pieces, or teasing out new ideas from old works.
I think teasing out, definitely. I don't know if I would characterize it as teasing out new ideas from old things, but I do like the idea of, it's like teasing out connections, teasing out connective tissue that maybe we didn't think was there. For me, that's really how you engage an audience, is to, in a weird way, for me, I mean, I realize that maybe this isn't how everyone responds to my programs necessarily, but the hope is that it's, you present an audience with something that at first blush maybe even seems a little difficult to, you know, tease out. There isn't necessarily obvious connections. I mean, I kind of try to deliberately eschew those, just because it feels dangerously facile if you can sort of point to be like, this is X element that's shared with this piece. I like the idea of teasing out something a little more elusive, something that's specifically in a concert setting or in an album, you know, something that specifically the musical setting generates. I think that's what I like. And I'm always aiming for specificity. I mean, I think I ask the question of, like, why for everything? Like, why a certain recital program? Why a certain album? Why even make an album, you know, in an age where arguably albums can't exist the way they once did, as just collections of recordings? For me, I just didn't want to do that. For me, it's like, why make an album? And then, of course, the next question is, how can I make an album that really is its own thing? And so, yeah, I like the idea of teasing out connections, and because I think there's also more possibilities implied in that. Because if you're teasing out some connections and you're just teasing them out, you're not like being didactic about them, then that also means that there's other possibilities too and other permutations. And that's what I really hope. You know, I don't want to just tell my audience, this is the connection you want to make.
So you do that on your albums and you do that on your
Recital
programs.
programs too, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty
And I
cool.
love it in recital programs because you've got, you know, you're in a live setting. Oh, you can sort of feel it. Like I like to start recital programs with Cage, the piece by David Lane that opens the CD, and I love it because I go on stage and I talk about my programs a lot of the time, but I never talk before that piece. I like to go on stage and play that piece, and that piece is basically just a tremolo between two notes, and the notes shift, but it's two notes for 6 minutes, and it unmoors people. You know, it really kind of, I think, untethers people in a way that excites me. It's such a weightless piece that I think it kind of literally lifts you out of your expectations, hopefully. I mean, that's the hope, because I do think that that's a danger, is that, you know, people go to a recital and maybe expect a certain structure, or are, even if we don't explicitly articulate it, I do think that, you know, just convention has defined that in a way. So I like starting stuff out with saying, no, wait, maybe not. And you know, and I think there's a little tinge of naivete in there, but I, you know, I really hold on to that, because I think if you lose that, then you're cynical, and that's not really viable.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.